Our text for preaching this morning comes to us from the Good News according to Matthew, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, a story of mystery and wonder and searching. So I invite you to listen for God's word to you in these words and in what follows. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. So for the last several years, Robin and I have hosted a Christmas party for our session members and our church staff. It's become a bit of a tradition for us. It's our small way to express our gratitude and our appreciation for the hard work that our leaders, our elders do in service of our community and moving our church forward, leading us on a daily basis and leading us into our future. And it was especially meaningful to do that this year. In light of all the work that we had done together, we also invited this year members of our forward planning leadership team to join us. Again, just to say thanks and to express our appreciation and gratitude for the investment of time and energy in serving the needs and interests and concerns of this congregation. At the end of the evening, Don Collins took his leave, a.k.a. Caesar, I should say. Some of you will remember from just a few weeks ago. And he explained he wanted to get home to and spend some time in his personal observatory. Some of you know that Don has built an observatory in your backyard, I guess it is, Don, yep. An avid stargazer, really sort of semi-professional in a way, someone whose findings are shared with other stargazers. And he was going home to spend some time looking at a triple star cluster. This was a cluster of stars that consisted of two inner stars that, I guess, rotated around each other, and one larger one that rotated around the inner two and eclipsed them. So he was going to spend time looking at that and, I guess, taking some photos of that and sharing those photos with other stargazers around the world, actually. The universe is brimming, it turns out, with such phenomena. The heavens are full of stars of wonder and stars of light, wonders bright and big and glorious. But to see them, one, requires two things. One, you have to look. And two, you really have to care about what you see. And that point, I think, is perfectly illustrated in our story today by the Magi of old. There was a bright star shining in the sky over Bethlehem. Surely others saw it. But the Magi are the only people named in the Gospel, anywhere in the Bible, who actually followed the star. They cared about what they saw, and they followed it. They determined what it meant, and they followed it there to Bethlehem, and bore witness to the coming of God's light into the world. They were the only ones named who did that. So my question today is, what if we applied this same approach that the Magi followed to our own lives? What if we, each one of us, became, in effect, our own personal observatory and paid attention and cared about the wonders that populate our daily lives and that are seen in our world every day? Frederick Buechner, the great writer, put it this way: listen to your life. See it. See your life for the fathomless mystery it is. In the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness, touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. Life itself is wonder. Life itself is miracle. So I am going to invite some of you now to share your star word story with us. And I also want to say, I should have mentioned this earlier, if you didn't receive a star word on your way in and you would like one, you can, of course, pick one up. There will be other words available in the narthex after the service in a basket out there. So if you'd like a star word for this coming year, go ahead and grab one of those. And I'm going to invite our intrepid clerk of session, Sally Broughton, to come and get us started. We'll set this down a little bit lower. It's easier to get to. And feel free to adjust that to suit you. There you go.
So at session meeting at Steve's houses, he spoke about earlier, he had asked all of us elders if we would be thinking about our star word last year and let him know if we'd be willing to speak about their hours. And so I wrote him an email and said, I'm not feeling particularly eloquent, but my star word last year was Pathfinder. The whole deal of being clerk is, to me, a little bit like walking an unlit path in the dark, since I didn't see myself as being the sort of person that would be in that role at all. But having somebody like Mike Levi precede me, aside from setting the bar really high, he also showed me how to do it well. And by the way, that first year that I was clerk, his star word was available. So I made use of that. So I wrote Steve and said, yes, this being clerk of session is a little bit like walking an unlit path in the dark, but driving a forward planning process, having never done anything like that, felt a little bit like driving a school bus full of children with no headlights in the dark. And then I wrote, except, come to think about it, there's been a lot of light. And Steve wrote back and said, well, I think you've got a good story there. Maybe with an emphasis on where's the light coming from? And I thought, well, that's the really hard question, isn't it? And what I thought back on was this forward planning process when we very first started it and we got our little leadership team together. I said, if we don't do anything else, we're going to do a lot of praying. And maybe sometimes right in the middle of the meeting, I might say, everybody be quiet, we're going to pray. Because sometimes you just don't know where you're going, and I'm not the best at running meetings, and sometimes our meetings are really messy, but at the end of it, it always feels like the light has showed up. It's not quite like that light that Paul got on the road to wherever. It just seeps in. So, Pathfinder, that was my word.
So my word this year was discernment. And at first I thought, well, that's kind of a wimpy word because I'm, you know, starting a new business and I've got all these goals and ambitions, and I thought my word should be something like, you know, ferocious or success or fierce or achievement or something. But discernment sort of on some other level felt right, and I went with it. And I actually found it to be incredibly helpful over the course of the year because, as we all know, on a sort of macro level, the year did not always go as we wanted. And even in my own personal life, in terms of, you know, how quickly my business was moving or whether or not I got an assignment I wanted or a client I wanted or what the outcome was or when I was running, how fast I was going or how mostly slow I was going, what I found was that there were a lot of things going on that I couldn't control or that didn't happen the way I predicted them. And what I came to think about when I really thought about discernment was my job became, or my mission became, or my calling became how to pay attention to what was going on around me and how to discern what the wise thing was to do or the smart thing was to do or the best thing to do was in that moment. And it might not always be what I think. And I started to think of it as like a skill or a muscle I was building up. And the metaphor that sort of started working for me, because I always think in terms of metaphors, was it's a little bit like when you're running a river and sometimes there's rapids and your boat's going really great and you're running it fantastically well. And other times it's a really long, slow patch and you're hardly moving forward at all. And you can't ever predict what's going to happen and you also can't control what the river's going to do. And for me, discernment became about learning to read the river and being willing to run the river in whatever condition it was in. So when things didn't go as I wanted, when they weren't as fast, when certain world events didn't play out the way I wanted, what I thought to myself about was, okay, discernment, read the river. What's happening right now? And what can you do right now to run this as well as you can? And it became a really good sort of practice or a habit that I picked up to the point where now, in the morning, when I get out of bed, I say, okay, eddy out, because eddy is what you do when you launch your boat out of the safe space into the river. And so that's become a nice practice as well. Like, I don't know what the day is going to bring, but eddy out, just get into it and try and read what's going on.
Go with the flow. Who else? Anyone else like to share a story from this year? Paul.
I got this word this morning, and I thought I'd go ahead and respond now because I might not even remember my name next year at this time, but ability. I live in a retirement community. I'm putting a different slant on this word. We meet on a Monday morning to just solve world problems, and we do a pretty good job. We manage to try to get into politics in a civil way every once in a while. And about a month ago, because we got a lot of conservative guys in the group, I mentioned to them, have you ever realized that 50% of our population has an IQ below 100 when you start talking about ability? And there's a lot of people out there that work really hard their whole life, but they can't afford health insurance. And I basically told him, I think, you know, it's kind of a shame if we don't provide for our people that are hardworking, and with what's happened to health costs in the last 20 years, it's unbelievable. Just the way I think it's a shame to not take better care of our veterans that are coming back in conflict. So that's a different way maybe to look at the word ability.
Who else?
So the word that I chose last year was the word peace. And immediately the first thing I thought of was that is the word that I've been using for years when I enter into times of centering prayer. That's my centering word. So I thought, oh, goody, got a lot to work with. And the other thing I loved about my word is that I was reminded of it every Sunday when we pass the peace. So the words have been very present for me all year. I did something, I've had Star Words for years now, and I've always kind of got a thumbtack above my desk, and I put them, just stack them up there. But this year, I put it in my bathroom mirror. I taped it to my bathroom mirror. And it felt a little more personal, like I was exposed to it more. I had more chances to think about it and ponder it, I guess. But as the year, and you can think about peace in so many ways, and I can remember the beginning of the year just thinking about all the different ways I would pray for peace globally. But as the year progressed, I found the work that I was doing was more deeply personal in that, and I don't know whether it's getting towards middle age or being 3 years out of a cancer struggle, but I found that my anxiety gets triggered really, really easily, and then I just can worry and get stressed out kind of at the drop of the hat, and knowing that it's nothing, it's the same kind of thing Robin was talking about. There may not be anything I could do about it, but how do I manage that? And so as the year progressed, the word came to mean more about how do I find my own sense of peace in the midst of these things that I can't control and that I still have to deal with. And that takes some work, and it's hard. But it's been worth it, and it's been a word that's meant a lot to me.
That's why we talk of spiritual practice. Sometimes you have to work to get better. So my word for this past year was accomplishment. And I'll confess that as an alpha male, maybe, the word appealed to me. I like challenges that stretch me and that ask more of me. And I like that sense and that feeling of satisfaction that comes with accomplishing goals, with accomplishment itself. So the word appealed to me, and in part because I've had that feeling, of course, as we all have in my life at this point, as a, you know, the less close one gets to 20, the more opportunities, you know, you have to sort of rack things up, and I've experienced some academic success in my life. I've experienced some athletic success, some accomplishments, and those are good feelings. And as with anything that brings a sense of affirmation, you want to repeat that experience. Most of us do, I think, not just alpha males. But with one exception, when I was in college, I rowed in a boat with 8 other guys. It was a racing 8 and a coxswain, so 9 of us together. And we accomplished our goals together, and that was very exhilarating and very satisfying. But apart from that one experience, all of my accomplishments to this point in my life, to the start of this past year, had been effectively solo. I'd done them on my own. And boy, did that change in 2016. And I really didn't know, as is always the case, I hadn't really no idea as to what was coming in 2016. We did have some processes underway. I just didn't know where they were going to go. And before the year was out, we finished our ministry plan. We developed and launched a new website. With Robin, I finished a working draft of a working draft manuscript of a novel that we're now sending out to see if we can get representation. So we accomplished a lot, I think, in 2016. And the key word there is we. I did none of those things on my own. Couldn't have done any of them on my own. I did them in the company of others, it was always a collaborative effort, and those accomplishments were always the better for that, better than anything I could have done by myself or on my own. And it highlighted this whole experience of this past year, working with the forward planning leadership team, working with the group that developed the website and eventually launched the website, the communications committee, working with Robin on the book, it not only made more of me personally, but it reminded me of what church can mean and the potential that we have as a community to accomplish things together. So I am excited for what 2017 holds, the promise of it. As we move forward together, I'm certain that we will face some challenges, some of which we already sort of are aware of and know are coming. Some we do not know. But my hope, my prayer, my expectation is that we will meet these challenges together as a community and accomplish what God is calling us to do and what God is, and we will, in the process, become who God is calling us to be. So thanks be to God.